This morning's message is titled Precious Metals, Silver and Gold. Throughout Scripture, we see the usage of precious metals for various purposes. Metals like iron and bronze were made and used for crafting weapons. Metals like gold and silver were used to describe value, while tin and lead were used for all kinds of common purposes. This morning, I want to talk about silver and gold. They're two that are mentioned commonly throughout both the Old and the New Testaments, sometimes separately, sometimes together. And they were used for all kinds of decorations and ornamentation and all kinds of other purposes. This morning, I want to look at Malachi chapter 3. Something that's going to be important to remember this morning is that Malachi is the final prophet before the intertestamental period. Meaning that Malachi, after Malachi, there will be no new prophets and no new prophetic writings. Basically, God does not speak to the nation of Israel for about 400 years after Malachi gives his final message. The first time that a message from God will be given to the people after Malachi will be when the angel appears to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1. Now, at the end of Malachi chapter 2, there's a lot of complaints. The people seem to think that God is unaware and rewards the wicked people of the world, and that he does not exercise his justice in the world. But Malachi 3 is God's response. This is Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. "See, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant you desire, see, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who will be able to stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and like a cleansing lye. He will be like a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. Then they will present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in days of old, in years gone by. I will come to you in judgment, and I will be ready to witness against sorcerers and adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the widow and the fatherless and cheat the wage earner, and against those who deny justice to the foreigner. They do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts, because I, Yahweh, have not changed. You descendants of Jacob have not been destroyed." Verse 1 tells us about two different people, two people that we are pretty familiar with in today's day and age as Christians. The first messenger, of course, is John the Baptist. The second, the Lord who they seek, the messenger of the covenant, is Christ. But he's not coming in the way you want him to, is what Malachi is telling them. We often think about this idea of Christ not coming in the way we expect to when we talk about Easter and Christmas, and it's he wasn't the leader they expected, and the he wasn't the military soldier that they expected. But even this 430-ish years prior, he's still not what they expected to. And Malachi is telling them this. See, they too expect him to come and to cast out their enemies, to do away with wickedness, and they don't realize their own wickedness. Malachi makes clear that this is not going to be the pleasant experience that they hope it will be. That when he comes, he will come to refine and purify and cleanse his people so that they can offer righteous sacrifices that they are currently not offering because of their sin. The passage shows us a glimpse into God's purpose with this world: to prepare for himself a holy people who will worship him in righteousness. Verse 2 describes Christ as two things: a refiner's fire and a cleansing lye. Some other translations use the phrase launderer's soap instead of lye. The purpose of the fire and the soap are both to cleanse. Christ has come to cleanse God's people, not destroy them, but cleanse them. Verse 3 describes him as a refiner and a purifier of silver, that he is going to refine the people, and also clarifies he's going to refine the priests as well. Malachi then warns the people that he is coming to purify, but also to judge. Remember, they were upset that God was supposedly letting wicked prevail and not dealing out his justice. And at times, it can almost feel a little bit like that today, that we see a lot of wickedness in our world, and we kind of go, God, where's your justice? But we have a hope and know that ultimately God is in control and that he is just. But Malachi is saying to the people, look, you want justice? Justice is coming, but it's going to come on you as well. He's going to judge you in the process. In fact, when God speaks through Malachi, he says that he will witness against them. He says, I will witness against you. He says, against the sorcerers and adulterers, those who swear falsely, those who oppress widows and the fatherless and cheat the wage earner, and against those who deny justice to the foreigner. They do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. But what all does this mean? We have to look at a couple of things. The first is we have to look at the refining fire. There's some imagery happening here. See, the refiner looks into the furnace or the pot, and they know the process is complete when all of the extra stuff, all of the non-silver, all of the non-gold stuff is burnt away and scraped off. But the fire is not easy. The silver and gold have been around for a long time. Those impurities have been around in it for a long time. They're not easy to cleanse away. When we've been in sin for a long time, we've been living our lives separate from God, and there could be a lot to be cleansed of. When we are saved, we are washed clean, and we are justified. But in this case of refining, we are not just talking about the forgiveness of sins, which the believer has, but those old habits that die hard, those things we go back to, those things that persist from an old life that God continues to cleanse us from. Christ has come to purge and to purify, to not only wash clean, but to purify us of those things which have been part of us for so long. This passage says that he is like a purifier of silver. And there's something really beautiful in that. It pertains to us this morning and how we live our lives. You may wonder how the purifier knows when silver is pure. There's one particularly interesting way to me in this imagery, and that is that pure silver will reflect the image of the one holding it. Pure silver reflects the image of the one holding it. Christ is purifying us, cleansing us of our impurities, so that we reflect his image. Think of this in context of 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We are being made to reflect the image of our Lord. Israel was God's chosen people, and they were called to be holy, to be set apart. And we are called to the same thing today. And so when we act in that manner, when we act in those ways, we act in the image of God. We show others the image of Christ. In fact, if we look to the things that God says he's going to judge them for, we know exactly the kinds of things to not do and to do because of them. He says that he's ready to judge them for them. He says, as the kids would say, he has receipts. He has proof, in other words, that they have been doing things they should not be doing. And they're not doing the things they should be doing. They're practicing sorcery. They're committing adultery. They're lying. They're not taking care of the widows and the orphans, which I looked this up. 5 times in the Old Testament, God specifically commands them to take care of the widows and the orphans. Plus, think about James 1:27, where it says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And then Malachi says that those who will be judged will also include those who cheat the wage earner and against those who deny justice to the foreigner. And his reasoning is because they do not fear the Lord, because they were to be a nation set apart that treat people differently than how the other nations around them did, and they failed. They weren't acting in the image of God in which they were created, in which he wanted to purify them to be like. So what's the purpose of this refining fire? Well, it's righteous worship. In verse 3, Malachi says that after the sons of Levi are purified, they will present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. It's the result of the refining fire. It's righteous worship. Worship is not just singing. Worship is how we live our lives. With everything we do, we show what we do or do not worship. God isn't just burning away sin for the sake of burning it away. He's doing it to cleanse the people so that they can worship him rightly. The refining process is about restoring hearts that will truly honor him. Romans 12:1, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. When God refines us, he's making our lives that living sacrifice. And everything we do is a result of this. And so when we walk through a season where it feels like the fire is especially hot, when we're being stretched, when we're being challenged, when we're being convicted, it's not punishment, it's purification. He's preparing you to live and worship in righteousness, to offer to him a life that brings him joy and glory. God's refining always has a purpose, and that purpose is restored worship. The third thing we see is the promise in the fire, and that is that God does not change. Verse 6 gives us a comforting truth. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. That's the promise that holds us in the middle of the refining fire. God doesn't change. His mercy is just as steadfast as his holiness. If he was a different kind of God, if he was temperamental, inconsistent, unreliable, Israel would have been destroyed long before. But because he is faithful and he keeps his covenant, his refining never overtakes us. He never destroys us through his refining. Instead, he transforms us. His discipline isn't destruction. He refines. He burns away sin, but not his people. And that's good news for us, because if you belong to Christ, you can rest in that same promise that I, the Lord, do not change. There's something beautiful about the way that a silversmith works. He'll heat the metal until the impurities rise to the surface. He'll scrape them away again and again and again. Patient, steady, and precise. He knows the process is finished when he can look down into the silver and see his own reflection. And that's what God's doing in our life. Through every trial, every conviction, every moment of growth, he's shaping us so that when the world looks at us, they see his reflection. Pure silver reflects the image of the one who holds it. Malachi's message is clear. The refiner is coming, and for us, we know that he has already come. Christ came once to cleanse his people and to redeem them. And he will come again to judge and restore. And so the question Malachi asks still echoes today: who can endure the day of his coming? Only those who have been refined by his grace, washed by his blood, and transformed by his Spirit. And so our response is surrender, to trust the refiner's hand, to let him do the work that only he can do in us, to say, Lord, whatever you need to burn away, burn it. Whatever you need to cleanse, cleanse it until my life reflects your image. Because when that day comes, when the refiner looks upon his people, may he see himself reflected in each of us. Will you stand and pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you that you are a refiner working in us, that you don't leave us, you don't forsake us, but you continue to work in us. That steady, slow, precise work. Father, may we be open to your Holy Spirit and whatever it is that you are trying to do in us. May we have that heart to say, if it needs burned, burn it. If it needs cleansed, cleanse it. I think of David in the Psalms who says, search my heart, O God. Father, will you search our hearts? May we be a people who reflect your image both in our personal lives and in our public lives. And ultimately, may those around us see you reflected through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our benediction this morning comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all of his saints. Amen.